you're listening to an NRL.com podcast, International Test Special. How good does that sound, Chris and Alicia?
Quality intro. I can't wait to get into it now.
I know.
Thank you. So we're going to have a little chat about the Gillaroos and the Kiwi Ferns. Should introduce us all. I'm Katie Brown, and I have with me Chris Kennedy, the NRL expert of statistics and fantasy.
Alleged expert, thank you.
Well, there's no allege in there at all. And Alicia, our chief women's reporter. Did you like how I
thank you.
Emphasised the chief?
I don't know if that's true, but thanks.
Michael Chamis is our NRL.com chief reporter, and he would be very jealous. But both of you, we have got the Gillaroos Kiwi Ferns, Saturday, Auckland, Mount Smart Stadium in a triple header. We need to talk about this game. So much has happened from the Rugby League World Cup when they played each other last year. I guess big talking points. Alicia, what is it for you?
For me, it's just how good it is rugby league's back on like international calendar. For the women, it's been probably 11 months, since the World Cup final. So it's a great matchup, and I think the NRLW comp will bring out a lot more quality in this game.
Yeah, we're going to get to the NRLW very shortly after our preview for all of our listeners. But CK, what is the biggest talking point out of this game for you? Where's the area that you're going to be watching?
For me, the biggest talking point is just how much, so Alicia touched on it, but how much the game's changed from the last World Cup through the impact of the NRLW. We've seen a lot of players picked on form, a lot of players who are accustomed to seeing in these fixtures not get picked because they might not have had the best NRLW series, and younger players or, hungry players, players who've, just shown their best form over those few weeks of the competition have sort of been prioritised. So you've seen some big names miss out, especially for the Gillaroos, Matty Studden and Ryan Sims, who've been pretty common fixtures in these games for a while, not get selected. And we've got quite a few debutants, a couple of debutants on both teams. So I think it's really exciting time for the sport.
Yeah, for sure. Another one, Vanessa Foliaki, comes to mind when we talk about big names missing out. But the area that the game's going to be won, where's the talking point for you, Alicia? You mentioned centres.
Yeah, I like the centre battle. You've got Honey Hiramie and Matilda Federica. She's obviously moved back from the centres from the back row against Isabel Kelly and Jess Sergis. I think the middles will sort themselves out, and the halves are pretty creative in their own on their own merit. But I think the back line is where the game will be won.
Ooh, okay. We'll come back to Alicia after the game. And what about for you, CK?
I think it's probably quite even through the forwards. I think Yossi's probably got a bit more strike in the back. The head-to-head matchup that I'm really looking forward to is in the halves, though. And I think the All-Broncos pairing of Ali Brigginshaw and Kimi Ora-Nati, they were both absolutely sensational through the NRLW, a huge part of the team's success through the round robin and then through the final. Ali Brigginshaw, player of the tournament in the World Cup, and then certainly amongst the best few players in the NRLW, didn't get the Dally M, which went to her teammate Brittany Braley, but she was certainly one of the most influential through the tournament. Kimi Ora-Nati, Australian viewers might not be as familiar with because she obviously doesn't play in the Origin, but did play in the last World Cup. We saw her get a run. I think it was the last round game the coach took. I think Chelsea Baker, Ali Brigginshaw and Brittany Braley all ended up off the field at the end of the game, and Nati was running the show, and Broncos just kept scoring points. And I think she showed that, she's not a shadow player to Brigginshaw by any stretch. She's a wonderful player in her own right, and then obviously player of the match in the final. So I think the head-to-head battle between those two is going to be one to watch.
Yeah, for sure. The hat-trick in the grand final. How
Absolutely.
Good. It was like, who is this woman? Far out.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, they're all sensational. You talk about Ali Brigginshaw, and she wasn't recognised for an individual accolade at club level or NRLW level. But nothing to take away from her talent. Do you both agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. If she was in another team, it probably would have gone a different way. Britt Braley obviously won Dally M Player of the Year, and she had a great season all around. It was just that her and Ali played in the same team together, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And Brittany Braley, she spoke about her game and always looking at Cameron Smith's game and trying to take pieces away from that and play like him. I think she did just that in the NRLW, hence her Dally M nomination and her Dally M win. She is so clinical on the field, doesn't miss a beat. What was most satisfying for both of you about her performance during the year?
She Oh, she's just so creative, but she looks like she's doing everything in slow-mo, and it's something that Cameron Smith obviously does a lot in the men's side of it, and for me, that's where Britt's game has gone to another level. She obviously didn't get the chocolates in Origin, and I think that hurt her a little bit, and she's obviously now bounced back in the NRLW comp, and I expect a massive game from her this week.
Mm. Yeah, it's the time. It's that, the really good high-class number nine sort of play at their own pace and dictate the speed of the game. And we've seen Cam Smith do that over her whole career. But I think Brayley did that extremely well through the NRLW. And just taking good options, I think she didn't make a lot of mistakes. She really got the right option, the vast majority of the time whilst sort of dictating how the games progressed. And I think that was the most impressive part of her game for me.
Yeah, I'm getting carried away. We're already talking about NRLW. I'm supposed to be previewing this test match. Let's get back to it. You talk about the forwards. They'll sort themselves out. I cannot wait to see what both teams' forwards bring to this contest. But when we look at the way these teams play, the Jillaroos, coached by Brad Donald, what sort of game plan are we expecting to see? Chris, I'll throw to you first, from the Green and Gold.
Hopefully it'll be a fairly simple one through the middle to start off with. It is a test match, and we've seen, Heather Ballinger and Steph Hancock was on the bench for this one over a very long period of time, just super reliable through the middle with those charges, those hit-ups. Eliana Walton playing like a woman possessed at times in the NRLW. She had one carry, I think it was in the final after the game had sort of slipped away, and she carried about three or four players about 15 metres with this, those piston legs just pumping and carrying about four players with her. So when she winds up and gets going, she's extremely hard to stop. I think a power first through the middle game for the Aussies, because obviously the Kiwis have got plenty of firepower in the middle as well, and they're going to have to try and cancel some of that out.
You talk about Eliana Walton. After that match, I spoke to her, and I brought up those two runs, and they were just amazing. I thought, what is this woman doing? She's incredible. Why hasn't she been playing like this all month? She said that her daughter, well, she had a couple of slow games at the start of the season. Her daughter had been taken in for emergency hip replacement, and Ruwan Sims asked everybody at the start of the game, what's your why? Why are you playing today? And Eliana said, my daughter, because I've got a perfectly fine body. I need to go out there and prove it. I've got two working legs. And I thought that was really interesting, because I thought, far out. You need to think of something like that every week. And hopefully that's in her mind again, because she needed that against the Kiwis. But her form, she's still got it, Eliana, and she will be huge in this match. What about for you, Alicia? Jillaroo's game plan, what do you think Brad will try and where do you think he could exploit the Kiwis?
Well, it's going to be an interesting one, just because the Jillaroos are in a bit of a transition period at the moment. They've got a few of those older forwards that are transitioning out. Brad has mentioned that several times. So they have to match them up front, because we saw in the Warriors, team that they've got forwards capable. I think the biggest area that the Jillaroos can target the Kiwi Ferns is the fact that the game is going for 80 minutes and not 60 like the competition that we've seen just gone. So I think that final 20 is where the Jillaroos' fitness will come into play.
Of course, extra 20 minutes for international matches. Don't forget, if you are watching, the women's game will go for 80 minutes like Alicia mentioned. Jillaroos' game plan as well, let's talk about, there's a few debutantes. There's six all up, five to be named. So Julia Robinson, Jess Sergis, Tasman Gray, Keely Davis, and Holly Wheeler. Hannah Southwell named as 18th woman. That says a lot about the competition, which we will get into a little bit later. But which debutante are you most excited to watch?
We've probably got the same one, but you go first.
I was going to say Holly Wheeler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, why?
I'm just a Newcastle product, and I just love the way that she's gone about it this year. Like, she's basically unheard of at Origin level. She got picked up through the country, the national champs. She played great for country, and yeah, she's been around the game a lot longer than people think. But she's suddenly a Jillaroos back rower. So,
disclaimer: Alicia is a Newcastle Knights fan. What about for you, CK?
Yeah, that is a good shout. Holly Wheeler, tough as nails, been really impressive. Yeah. I was going to go for Julia Robinson, who obviously has only been in rugby league a very short period of time, but has just exploded through the NRLW, scoring a lot of tries. Again, a product of the successful Brisbane system, but yeah, involved in some huge collisions, scored plenty of tries, and yeah, really sort of making every post a winner at the moment. And, you know, still very raw, but obviously has a great, you know, a lot of physicality about her and a great sense for the game. And I think she's going to be a real handful on Saturday.
Yeah, my pick is Julia Robinson too, just because we haven't seen enough of her. And if there's another step, how are we going to see her perform in the green and gold? She's only 20. And some of her tries, my favourite one was that Superwoman try. She just flew in the air and scored the try. So she only started playing. Her first rugby league game was in May.
Yep.
At the Nationals. Before that, she'd played one or two rugby games, and before that, she only played netball. Mm. So, far out, natural talent.
She scored a try, I remember, at the National Champs. I think it was just an intercept, ran 90 metres length of the field, and everyone thought it was Meg Ward, like, because everyone just, it was for the ADF side, and they all went, oh, it's not Meg Ward, who is it? Like, it's Julie Robinson. And ever since then, everything's just fallen into place. She got picked up by the Broncos, and then, yeah, here she is.
Did she tear up Sam Bremner as well? Was that her?
I can't remember.
Oh, I think I'm sure. I thought I remember you telling me some story about someone tearing up Sammy Bremner, and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Sammy Bremner tearing up someone else and I've got it muddled up. But we should mention Sam Bremner is out with that broken toe. She was named as captain. Disappointing for her because it has been so long since she's been able to get a Jill Roos game under her belt just with this run of injuries. But when you talk to her, you wouldn't think there's anything wrong with her. She's still got the smile from ear to ear. Huge loss for the Jillaroos on this one, guys.
Well, yeah, she's got a brilliant attitude and she's just such a high-class performer and just had absolutely no luck with injury. And it's not the same injury. It's not as if she's got one knee or one something that keeps going. It's just been a whole bunch of different, you know, I think she had a fractured fibula at one point, missed a few games. Now it's a toe. She's had knee issues, you know, ankle issues. It's never been something that keeps her out for 2 years. It's a whole bunch of different injuries. So no luck at all for her. She's such a, you know, a key part of that back line when you talk about, you know, the shifts. She's, you know, always takes the right option. But, I mean, I guess the plus for the Jillaroos is that you can bring Chelsea Baker in after the NRLW that she's had. It's a high-class replacement.
Yeah, of course. And then Karina Brown comes into the wing. Ali Briginshaw named captain. We spoke about Ali a little bit earlier, and she has all the traits. I mean, she captained the club to a premiership. Her debut as a captain in the green and gold. I mean, not that we're former players. You couldn't really give her any advice. I'm sure she's heard it from more respectful people. But what about for you, Alicia? No Sam Bremner.
It's a curse. I'm convinced she's cursed. Like, it would be a year now that she's just coming up with these injuries. You know, the concussion in the May test last year. Day before the game, she got a freak knock. So, look, she'll bounce back. And I know Brad has her in high regard, obviously naming her captain. He wants her to take the team into the next World Cup. Like, that's where it's at. So, yeah, she'll be back. It's just a matter of putting her in cotton wool a little bit more.
There's always something, unfortunately, but I like your theory, a curse.
Well, I hope it turns around, whatever it is.
Yeah, me too.
What has she done?
Yeah, I know. And, yeah, she's got she's so resilient and got such a positive outlook. So if you're listening, Sammy, we hope that you're in for a speedy recovery because everybody wants to see you in the green and gold. Do you know what I did? We've previewed the Jillaroos first.
I was about to say, can we
get not the host?
Well, we're saving the home team for the headline act, are we?
That's a really good way to look at it. Or we could say that we're Aussies and I've been ignorant and I've talked about the Jillaroos first. That's so rude.
Let's
so I apologise.
With the Kiwi Ferns, because there's some great players to talk about.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's go. Let's talk about the host, Kiwi Ferns. We saw them all start in the NRLW. Been sensational. Let's talk about biggest matchup in Kiwi Ferns lineups. Let's start with you, CK.
I think I might be scuppering someone else's tip, but I'm in terms of the forward battle, we touched on Tuila Fodumoala, but she's been around for a long time. But I'm going to have a crack at this. Nunga, I knew I was going to fall over on that. Nunga Katoru Arakua.
Close.
Played for the Broncos. Played, I think, in the last World Cup as well. She's been absolutely fantastic. Hasn't got anywhere near the headlines of some of the other players, but, yeah, still young, a great prospect, a really hard hitter. Starting in the number eight jersey is going to be a force to be reckoned with through the middle, and a key part of sort of shutting down those Ballinger, Hancocks, Maumataufa sort of players. I think she'll be a big one to watch.
Do you think she hasn't had as many headlines because her name is so hard to pronounce?
I've had a few cracks at it and fell over every time. So, yeah, it could be a factor.
Arakua, we think you are unreal. Alicia, what about for you?
Can I just stick with the back line?
You can do whatever you want.
With this back line. No, okay. I think the Kiwi Ferns girls, their back five is probably the strongest and where they can have a bit of a point of difference against these Jewelry's girls.
Can I ask you, you've got Maitua Federica, who was pretty good in the back row for Brisbane, Honey Hiramy, who's a fantastic winger and probably a preferred spot is winger. They're the centre pairing up against an Aussie centre pairing who are both specialist centres and both close to the best player on their team. How do you see that centre battle sort of panning out, given that, you know, the Kiwi pair are sort of, I don't want to say out of position, but not in their regular club positions?
I think with Honey, you've just got to get her closer to the game.
Yep.
In round one, when she played at the Dragons, she couldn't get the ball, and then they moved her to fullback when Semi was out, and suddenly, you know, she ran length of the field and just had so much more of an impact. So I think that might be their tactic there. Maitua played centres in the World Cup final last year. She wasn't, she wasn't overly terrible in that game. She was great. So, I think that's where it's at. And they also have got so many forwards that there's enough to move her out in that centre spot. So,
will we see the best of Maitua in centre? Do you think, like, I mean, we've seen her, especially the Origin game, she was unreal in the back row. But do you think we're going to see a different style from her or a different game from her?
I think there's only one style with Maitua. Yeah. I just expect her to run hard, and she'll be up against Izzy, so it's going to be a challenge. Izzy scored two tries against her, essentially, in the World Cup final last year. So it's a massive challenge, but they've obviously put her there for a reason to try and stop Isabel.
Okay. When we look at their spine, Arpi Nichols, she was New Zealand Rugby League's Player of the Year last year. Then we've got halves, Racine McGregor, Kimi Oranati, and, of course, Nita Maynard, who played for the Blues in the Origin. What do you make of that spine and their experience together? Chris?
Is Crystal Rhoda's not selected, right? She's fit but not picked. So they've gone a little bit of a different way. And also Georgia Hale, who's she's got a wonderful passing game. Probably didn't show the best of her form through the NRLW, which is probably why she's found herself on the interchange rather than the starting side. But I would say Georgia Hale's got as much talent as probably any of the other playmakers in the NRLW, but just didn't quite show the best of it in that, you know, the shortened tournament. Arpi Nichols is high quality. She's a really good player, and she's still very young as well. So I think Nichols and Nati are probably going to be the keys for them. Maynard as well. She was good in the NRLW. She's taking over from Crystal Rhoda.
Were you just about to break your mic?
I just leaned on the cord and almost knocked it over on myself.
Please look after your equipment.
I got away with it until you picked me up on it. I think I've probably got to go with the Aussies in terms of the spine, just from 1, 6, 7, 9. I think they've probably got a slight edge, but there's some great players in this Ferns playmaking roster as well.
What do you think about the change with Georgia Hale and Crystal Rhoda?
Nita, you just had to pick her. I think she's been in the Australian system all year too, which I think has helped. Her development has just grown so much. So I think there's a little bit of that to bringing her in, because she's got a lot of knowledge as well on some of the Australian girls. So, I like Georgia Hale off the bench as well, because if anything, the Kiwi Ferns girls lack a bit of kick meters. I think it's something like triple compared to less than the Jillaroos girls. So, it's obviously I would have Georgia coming off the bench just as that extra half if, you know, Racine or Kimura is struggling or
I like whatever. Nita at hooker as well. Just she's quick out of the ruck.
She's nippy, yeah.
Yeah, and she'll be able to get some go forward if their forwards are struggling and try and build that pressure, get in some good field position.
I think that 80-minute thing is going to change everything.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that last 20 minutes is just going to if she comes on, kind of like an Isaac Luke or a, you know, Denny Levi, if I'm going down my Newcastle path again. Oh. Like, he's really, really, you know, they're really quick in that last 20. So.
Yeah. Sorry for everyone listening if you're hearing some slight coughing action in the background. That's just me clearing my throat. You probably didn't need to know that. What about captains? So, Kelvin Wright, he's the Kiwi Ferns coach. He's gone with Honey Hiromi and Laura Mariu as the joint skippers, 36 years between them. I personally love both of these players. Laura's playing at lock, Honey in the centres, like you both mentioned a bit earlier. Obviously gone for the older heads to maybe keep them all calm and relaxed. What do you like about those players having that leadership role?
Well, yeah, I think they command a lot of respect within the playing group. Like you said, I think it's about 18 years test experience each. They've been in the Ferns set up a really long time. We haven't really mentioned Laura Mariu yet, but she was good in the NRLW. She's back in what I would call her preferred position of lock, where she played in the World Cup. She had one of the best hits of the NRLW as well. She certainly can hit. I probably like her more in the 13 than in the 6, so I think this is a good spot for her. And yeah, Honey, we've talked about, she's a wonderful talent, really fast, great at finding the try lines, 5 or 6 tries in one game in the last World Cup. So yeah, two of, I guess, the spiritual leaders and really experienced players leading the team around, which is great.
I like that they've got experience in the back line as well as the forward pack. Like, obviously, Honey will be talking to the backs a little bit more, and Laura will do the same for all the middle.
Yeah. They're both such good readers of the game, aren't they? And they can really help liaise with their team. Probably biased. I love watching those two, I think. Especially Honey. Was when we look at our top 5 tries of the year, Honey got the try of the year. And again, when you talk about those movements in the backs and her being in centre, which is a little bit out of position, hopefully she does get some ball and she's not flat-footed, because when we see her run, no one can stop her.
Well, she stepped up in nickels for that try. So
she
they're playing, obviously, you know, they played a lot together before that happened. And I was on hand to interview Honey in the sheds after that game, and I asked her about stepping up for the try. A little bit bashful. I think she didn't want to be showing up her Kiwi Ferns teammate, but they'll be looking forward to being on the same side. That was a wonderful move. Yeah, really, really left her grasping at thin air. It was a great try.
I'm sure they're friends now.
I'm sure they're in camp together.
Anything else on that game before we move on to the NRLW that you both want to bring up?
We haven't talked about the Aussie number 7, who's Zahara Tamara, who is another one who's, you know, we've seen a fair bit in the 13 jersey. She's probably got one of the best long kicking games in the NRLW. So I think the Roosters got a lot better once they moved her from 13 to 7. It's interesting to see her, I guess, in the 7 for the Gillaroos. You know, seeing Caitlin Moran play in the halves, she's missed the whole year, unfortunately, with an ACL injury. You know, Maddie Studden hasn't shown her best form through the NRLW and hasn't been selected. So it's a bit of a new look halves pairing, but I think balance-wise, it could be a good move.
We saw Tamara make that instant change in the Roosters NRLW season with her kicking game. It was immediate, just gave the Roosters outside backs. We saw Talina Simon get 4 tries off the back of a lot of what Zahara Tamara had had organised. And I'm assuming, I think, Chelsea Baker will still be their kick-up, because I think Tamara did sort of struggle a bit, even though a lot of those tries were out wide. Alicia, anything else you want to mention?
No.
No, great.
You'll have to cut that out, but
we don't need a dribble. No. Okay, let's talk about the NRLW and how much that has changed both of these lineups. We did talk, touched on Maddie Studden and Ruwan Sims and Vanessa Foliaki. Alicia, I think off air we've talked about reputation sort of being a leeway into making these teams. Now it's impossible for reputation to play a part, because we see on the NRLW you have to play good to get picked.
Yeah, I think we pointed it out. Like, if there was no NRLW comp this year, would some of these girls have just made it purely on who they were and what they did last year? And it's changing. And there's a lot of girls in this team that would be nervous for the Gillaroos, and rightfully so. Like, we've got 6 debutantes, five, not including Hannah. But it's definitely a changing time. And I think, you know, some of these girls are going to put their hand up and take these jerseys And it's you know, we see Rowan miss out, we see Maddie Studden miss out, but they're missed out because of form. Like, it's not because they're injured. Yeah. And I think it's going to be new for everybody, all these demotions and drop. It's good. It's good for the competition, and it just goes to show that there is no favouritism coming on board. It's all... Everyone's starting fresh, I suppose.
Yeah, and also having that drive to always be that step ahead, because you've got three other girls on your back. That didn't happen before the NRLW, Chris. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a cliche, but it's true. You know, the more competition, the better everyone gets, because you've got to stay a step in front of everyone else, because otherwise they're going to take your spot. And like Alicia said, that's actually what's happening. The best players are getting picked, and the players who've been there and done it before, if they haven't been performing over the last couple of months of the NRLW, they're getting left out. And even, you know, Karina Brown's been arrested on fixture in the Gillaroos for a while, but she was only a late call-up after Sam Bremner got ruled out, so she's sort of playing for her spot as well from the wing. You know, we've seen her play fullback, especially for Queensland at club level, but, you know, she's in on the wing for the Gillaroos. So there's a lot of players, and, you know, in the forwards even, you know, Steph Hancock has been amazing, but she's also very close to the end of her career. So there's, you know, Heather Ballinger's been around a long time. Eliana Walton's getting on. So there's a few, you know, there's going to be spots opening up, and the team's going to continue to evolve. And I think that's what needs to happen. Like, you see rep teams in particular, if everyone sort of gets old at the same time and there's a big changing of the guard, then you've got a huge rebuilding process and a bit of a slump. But if you kind of keep regenerating with informed players, then that's how you sort of stay at the top of your game. So it's good to see that that's what, you know, the rep teams are doing. And, you know, like we said, the Ferns are the same. You know, Nita Maynard in at hooker, rewarded for strong form. You know, there's quite a few players who've been rewarded for form, and a few incumbents missing out. So it's good for both sides.
Yeah. Love it. Love it to get stronger. And I know that some recruitment managers are already out chasing the players they want for next year. We don't even know what's happening next year. But hey, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, this wasn't happening last year, this time last year. So all the girls are on one-year deals, the ones that played in the NRLW. So they're essentially free agents. And if we can get more clubs, you know, throwing bigger deals at them, then that's great for the game all around, because then you've got clubs competing against each other to win that player over. So might lead into the next question of who we'd pick if we went marquee.
No,
or,
we're not talking marquees.
I've just got my teams ready.
Do you? Okay, because I'm thinking if there's people fighting over players, there might be a few more dollars involved, and that's going to be great as well, Chris, for female players who are umming and ahhing about relocating. I know they don't care about the money, they just want this opportunity, but... hey, look, if someone's going to chuck you an extra couple of grand, I'm going to have a serious think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously different to the men's NRL, because if you sign a three-year deal to go to the Cowboys from Penrith, then you obviously move your whole family up to, you know, North Queensland. But if it's, you know, if it's the NRLW and only goes for 8 weeks, you don't move your whole family for an eight-week deal. You just got to kind of find a rental house. And so, yeah, it's a little bit different the way it's all going to function. I don't know how, you know, if sponsorships come on board, third parties, you know, what, you know, obviously the cap situation's all going to be different. We're only talking one-year deals at the moment. No one's signing, you know, Cherry Evans, Tamalolo style 5-10-year deals. So it's all in the very early stages. It's in the feeling out stages. There was, like you said, a bit of a feeding frenzy when it all finally got confirmed who the four clubs were and who the players were. And, you know, not everyone got picked up. Like Beck Young, who's a prop who's played for the Gillaroos, didn't end up landing a deal. And, excuse me, you've seen players get picked up, like Caitlin Moran and Corbin McGregor, who've then got injured and not been able to play a part. So it's, you know, I think it's going to be very different the second time around in terms of how the clubs approach their recruitment.
Yeah, can't wait. Maybe that's our next podcast ep, is we talk about who's getting picked up, who's gone where, what the structure of the game's going to be. We'll save that for next time. But let's go to the question.
I'll get my research on and start finding out all this information.
We do. You are the chief women's reporter for a reason, Alicia Newton. Okay, if you were a recruitment manager, we're about to wrap things up. You have to pick two players for your team. Who would they be?
Okay, I picked Kezzy Apps. Because I think, I think Kez is like the best definition of the type of forward athlete that the game needs to have for the next 10 years. Similar to Isabel Kelly, it's just stature and quality of football that she brings. She didn't probably have the best year, to be fair.
Kezzy or Isabel Kelly?
Kezzy, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, just rattling all these names.
Kezzy, yeah. yeah, she probably didn't have, like, she was quite quiet by her own standards in Origin, and she admitted that. And NRLW, she was a bit hit and miss as well. So I'm expecting a big game from her this week. But, yeah, I'd have her in my team, first person picked.
Okay, and who's your second person?
Second, I've got a few options, but I narrowed it down to probably Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, again, similar, I'd have her first in the back line, just strength, speed, skill, play anywhere. So, yeah, she'd be a foundation signing.
I feel like she's a player players will play for as well.
Yep.
That's a really strong attribute. If you're a leader in the team, they're playing for not only themselves and whatever, their family, fans, whatever, but they're playing for their captain too. She has a lot of respect.
Yep.
Good choices. Mm. Chris, you like her choices?
I do like her choices.
Okay, now I'm drum rolling yours. Okay,
I'm sure that'll come up well on the recording. I've given her a fair rap already, but I'm going to go with Ali Brigginshaw as my first player picked, just as the class, the composure. You know, it feels like she's been around forever, but I think she's still only 29 thereabouts. So, you know, if we do end up with multi-year deals and franchise players, then she's someone who could lead a team like Brisbane for years into the future. You know, plays seven predominantly, but also six. High quality playmaker, is a leader on the field, captaining the Chillaroos at the moment, just ticks a whole lot of boxes. And the other thing I think you want is a really good forward. Alicia's gone for Kezia, I've gone for Tuila Fodumawala. I think she's just so dominant. She has that fear factor, I think, when you line up and you see her in the other team. It's sort of those really dominant forwards, you know, you kind of have a little bit of a psychological edge before the ball's even been kicked off, and I think she's one of those players. Great for Brisbane, great for the Ferns over a number of years. I think those are the first two I'd go for.
Is it because Fatimawala has a cool dimple as well?
I like her dimple. She's got a fantastic haircut.
Yeah.
I like the way she plays, I like the way she hits. It's just great.
Best
to watch.
Best hair in the NRLW.
We were busy yesterday trying to figure out if she had one or two dimples. That's the off-season for you.
We are not stalking you, Twill Fatimawala.
We're just fans.
I like both your picks. You did copy off me. I did pick Ali Brigginshaw as well. I think I would build my team around... around 13 players, but I think having a great halfback is crucial to the success of a team. So I picked her and, yeah, what she's done. Then my other one is...
Drumroll.
No, I'm just preparing myself to pronounce it properly. It is another Brisbane Bronco. Okay, sorry.
The suspense is killing us, Katie Brown.
Who could it be?
My heart's beating so hard. No, guys, you screwed me up for it. I said it better when I was loud. Nataka Toru Arakua.
Nice.
Yeah, great forward. And I think she, like we mentioned earlier, has been underrated. I can't wait to see what she brings to the table next year, but they're my two picks.
I was
okay.
Tossing up between her and Fodumawala, and I was just too scared to have another crack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Arakua. We will down-pat your name. Down-pat? Pat down? No.
Surely she's got
get your name correct.
She's got a nickname, surely.
Yeah, I'll have to find that out.
We'll find that out.
But we think you're sensational. Okay, now, before we wrap things up, let's talk about the other two matches, just your quick tips on the headline game, obviously, the Kangaroos and the...
Kiwis?
Okay, sorry, it's been half an hour, I've switched off. Okay, who's your tip for the main men's match?
I want it to be close, but I feel like Australia's going to run away with it. You look at some of their head-to-head battles... you know, Cook up against the rookie Brandon Smith. I know Australia's got actually more debutants and more changes than the Kiwis, but they've got so many informed players. Some of the forwards, you know, Frizzell and Jay Trbojevic on the bench, let alone, you know, guys like Cordner and, you know, Maguire, Clemmer up front. I just think they've probably got the edge in the forwards, edge in the backs and edge in the spine. So I think the Kangaroos probably going to do it by a distance at the end.
Okay, Alicia?
Yep, I agree. I like Teddy at fullback. I think he, you know, debut game, he's up for a big one. He's had such a massive year and I expect man of the match from him.
Ooh.
Putting pressure on him early.
Yeah. Yeah, I like both your tips. Okay, so I'm probably going to go for Australia as well, so we're all Australia for the men's match. For the junior Kiwis and junior Kangaroos, who's your tip in that match?
I'm going to lean towards the Kangaroos just for the playmakers. Sean O'Sullivan and Jake Clifford in the halves both have NRL experience. Reece Robson at hooker from the Dragons is a star of the future, and Corey Allen's just come off you know, a Prime Minister's tour as well with Australia, the young Broncos fullback. So I think that gives them the edge, although Isaiah Papali and Papali'i and Joseph Funa in the back row for the Kiwis is pretty sensational as well. So they'll certainly have a chance, but I'm going to lean to the Junior Kangaroos.
Alicia?
They're pretty dominant in this sort of, or this test match, the Kangaroos. So, yeah, I'm going to lead with them. Katoni Staggs, I'm looking forward to watching him go around. He played for the Broncos later in the year, so yeah, watch for him to have a big game.
I'm also going to go for the Kangaroos. Gosh, is it because we're Australian and we're doing it?
Well, I don't know.
Subjective.
The next tip, I don't know.
We'll get to the next tip. I'm going for the Junior Kangaroos. Neil Henry back in the coaching circle, great coach.
Yep.
Can't wait to see what he can. I feel like he'll bring out the best in our Junior Kangaroos lineup. Okay, and the women's game to wrap things up. Chris Kennedy, who is your tip?
I think this one will actually be very close. I've gone for the Ferns by 2 points, just off the back of Fotomawala and Arakua in the forwards. I think maybe a very slight edge. You know, Samaima Tau for carrying an injury, you know, Ballinger and Hancock not getting any younger. I think maybe just a very slight edge in the forwards for the Ferns, but we shall see.
Bombshell.
Yeah.
Alicia Newton.
I was thinking the Ferns, but now that I've had a little bit of a research, Jillaroos, but I think in the last 20 minutes, like I was alluding to before, I think that's going to be the key. So I think it'll be pretty tight early, but Jillaroos will run away with it in the end.
Okay. Bum, bum, bum. I'm going to go for the Kiwi Ferns.
Wow.
I know.
Cool.
That's against everything I believe in because I am Australian, but... It's just, guys, we've got to be objective about this. We're journalists, and who you think is going to win, that's who I think.
Yeah, I think it'll be really close. I think it'll either be Brigginshaw or Fotomawala for player of the match. There's my tip.
I like both of those. Can they both share it? That would be nice. Well, thank you both for joining us. Anything you want to mention before we turn off the mics?
I've talked enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Okay, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again soon. Bye.